This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. We'll deal with some illegal immigration talk this hour. Do some emails. Joe Biden stutter. We have all kinds of stuff coming. I need to address something really quickly before we get to the illegals. One, Jewish producer Chris just referenced hot beer with scorn. Let me tell you something. I know this has nothing to do with politics at all. No, hear me out, Chris. You're not listening. Hear me out. You know we went to, you know how I'm half European now because we went to Europe for a week at Christmas time. At the Christmas markets, they had these places that had hot beer. And the wife said, hey, you got to get one of those. And I said the same thing you said. I said, oh, ew, that's gross. I'm not going to. Finally, I got one. Now, this is some kind of special spiced blend thing. You wouldn't go crazy with these. Dude, it's pretty good. It was pretty good. Chris. Now what, Chris? You say it sounds like a cider. No, I'm not a sweet drink guy. That would not have been for. Yes, you can taste the hops, Chris. You know what? You're not very cultured like me, Chris. Maybe you should turn into a Renaissance man. You sit beside a Renaissance man like me every single day, and yet you don't seem to pick anything up. Speaking of the border. Remember this, they opened it on purpose, and that probably means that we've got some very serious problems that can only be addressed in the way that I'm about to describe. And here's one of the stories from today, part of what's prompting this conversation. The Biden administration fails to file paperwork, this is a headline, causing 200,000 migrant deportations cases to be tossed. Okay, so here's what happened. They had 200,000 illegals that were ready to be deported. The Biden administration, Department of Homeland Security, they have to file a required amount of paperwork before their court date in order to get them deported. Well, the DHS simply didn't. Oh, did we have to turn those forms in? Man, dog must have ate my homework. Guess we forgot. Now, you know and I know. This was done on purpose. So I realize we all know this by now, but I just want to make sure we're digesting this, you and me, properly. The president of the United States of America, the Democrats who run the United States government, not just the White House, they run all the bureaucratic agencies, everything else. They had 200,000 illegals that they could deport, that they were ready to deport, and they intentionally missed a paperwork thing so they could stay. Democrats are intentionally flooding the country with illegals. And that's going to bring me to my point I'm going to make here in just a moment. We can't make it like this. You know that, right? As I've discussed many, many, many times, even if Biden loses in 2024 and let's say Trump wins and Trump, let's say he actually succeeds with these mass deportations, which he won't. It's not humanly possible. But let's say he actually did it and woohoo, that's all good. We still live in a country where Democrats will flood the country with murderers and rapists whenever they take power again. So even if in 2024 we reverse it all and it's all good and woohoo, we still live in a country where we're one Democrat president away from reflooding the country with illegals. And look, we've used this example before, but I'm going to use it again just because it's the one that brings it home for me. We're on a boat, you and me. We're cruising across the Pacific, and we're in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. And one night an alarm goes off. Why? Because some of the other people on the boat, they were down in the engine room trying to tweak a couple things that would cause the engine to explode so our boat would sink in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. And they caught the problem before the boat exploded, and we didn't sink, and we're alive. But is everything fine? No, it's not fine, because you and me, we still share a boat with people who are trying to sink the boat. We share a nation with people trying to sink the boat. It is time, it's past time, but because of this issue specifically, it is time for red states to begin taking drastic steps. And these are the drastic steps. This is the drastic step that needs to be taken. The red states, Texas, Oklahoma, Alabama, all of them, Florida, all of them, they need to begin their own illegal immigration enforcement, even if it means defiance of the federal government. A red state coalition needs to form, build your own wall, create your own border security force, because the Border Patrol still falls under the command of the federal government. Red states have to build their own walls, create their own border security forces, create their own detention centers for illegals. We should currently already have gigantic tent cities in the red states, states like Texas, who have the space to do so. We should already have huge tent cities, call them camps, I don't care what you call them, where illegals are rounded up and stashed until we're able to deport them. I know you may think I'm just being crazy. This must be done to save the United States of America. A red state coalition must stand now in defiance of the federal government and create their own illegal immigration solutions. Border patrol, walls, deportation efforts. You have to create your own deportation court system, illegal immigration court system. This is going to end the country. And the red states, if they don't want to be dragged to the bottom of the Pacific with the rest of the United States of America, have got to begin being proactive now. But we are not, because we sit around and we lie to ourselves that we're just want to let, we'll just fix it. Well, now Trump will build the wall. Oh, okay. Democrats will get elected and they'll dynamite the wall. You know they would. You know they would. As we currently speak, as you are listening to me speak right now, you know that the wall is already law, that they should be building it. The Biden administration is taking your money, taxpayer money, and they're essentially suing to stop from having to build the wall. They're spending money so they don't have to build the wall. Even if we win and deport them all and build the wall, They'll hook satchel charges up to the base of that bad boy. They'll have 200 miles of wall demoed within the first week of them taking over the Oval Office. You know I'm right. So I am not talking about some civil war or something terrible like that. You know, I don't believe in that. Or I don't want that. That's the last thing in the world I want. I don't want anyone hurt. I don't want anything done like that. Nothing at all. But it is time to begin serious steps. I don't know whether you want to call them separation steps. I'll be honest with you. That's where it ends. We all know that's where that would end. But that's not what I'm going for. We must create a separate, parallel, illegal immigration system as red states, or we can't save this thing. You can't live in a country where if one party takes over, they flood the border on purpose. You can't survive. We can't survive. We've got to get separate boats. Or you have to get off the boat, or I have to get off the boat. But whatever's going to happen, we can't safely cross the Pacific with these people anymore. They're doing this stuff on purpose. And I love how lost these idiots are on the news. This was CNN. I can't figure out why is Trump doing better with Latinos?
If you ask Hispanic voters, who do they trust more on border security and immigration? Overwhelmingly, they trust Donald Trump more by a tremendous margin. Look at that, 49% to 24%. And that is in line with what we're seeing in the polls in general amongst Hispanics, right? Joe Biden won them overwhelmingly back in 2021 and by over 20 percentage points. Democrats normally carry them overwhelmingly. If you look at the polling right now, and an average of polling amongst Hispanic voters, who do they choose in the ballot test? It's barely Biden by about 2 points. It would be the smallest margin for any Democratic candidate among Hispanic voters basically throughout history since we started polling the gosh darn thing. So the fact is, at this point, there's no backlash, and at this point, I don't see one coming.
Yeah, the Latino neighborhoods in the United States of America, they're being flooded with gangs and murderers and rapists, too. It is time for a red state coalition, and it's time now. All right, we'll deal with some emails and stuff. Someone wants to drop napalm on the border. No, we're not dropping napalm. Before we deal with that, let me just once again remind you that the people running the country have no interest in stopping spending at all.
I have a two-vote majority today. By next week, it'll be back down to one. But we have to keep moving. We've got to keep the government funded. We have to keep operating, keep the train on the tracks, and you're seeing that happen here. So because of divided government, it's not a perfect piece of legislation. It's not the one we would draft and pass if the Republicans had control of the House, the Senate, and the White House.
Do you have your gold or silver coins yet? Have you taken steps as if the people running the monetary system intend to destroy the monetary system? Is that how you're acting? Is that what your actions are? Are you acting as if these people are trying to wreck us? You should, because they are. Oxford Gold Group is our parachute. They're going to get gold or silver, precious metals of some kind in your 401k, in your IRA. They'll get gold or silver. You choose coins delivered to your home so you have something physical in your hands. But you need to call Oxford Gold Group and let them work for you. They handle it all. They make it easy. This is for normal people, not millionaires. Call them. 833-995-GOLD. Oxford Gold Group. For gold, you can hold.
You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show. You're welcome.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Carol Roth coming up about 10 minutes from now. Don't forget, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Google, Spotify, iTunes. Let's deal with some emails here because I got to clear some out before tomorrow's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Jesse, I hate to say it, one napalm strike on the southern border would send a message. Sad but true. Okay, obviously we don't need to be dropping any napalm on anybody. But I will say, the kindest, most compassionate border policy our nation can have is one that would sound horrific to most Americans, including ones on the right. What we have right now on our southern border is one of, perhaps numbers-wise, the biggest slave trade in the history of the world. Do you realize that? When you move 8 million people, almost all of them indentured servants, slaves to the cartels and whatnot, when you move them across the border into a nation, That is gargantuan on a level that I don't know that the world has ever seen, certainly in that period of time. And we're talking the worst kind of slavery you can imagine. The children, oh, the women, the what's happening is evil. It's evil. What's happening to our nation, our people, our children, our hospitals, our services is evil. And it has to be stopped. But here's the thing. Has to be stopped. That's a talking point. That's something you would say with friends at a party. That's something I would say to my dad on the, well, yeah, Dad, it has to be stopped. But what does that mean, right? There are words, and then there's what it actually means. Well, people have to be turned away at gunpoint at the border. And in fact, stiffer penalties for anyone who comes here illegally, they should go into effect now, too. We're talking hard prison time. We're talking penal colonies. We're talking a nation where people from around the planet, when they consider coming here illegally, they get afraid. The idea of illegally immigrating to the United States of America, wherever you're coming from, should fill you with fear. Oh my gosh, I'd love to get to America, but what if they catch me? That should be what goes through the mind of every illegal. And that is the nicest border policy humanly possible for them and for us. We should be turning people away at the border at gunpoint. And if the National Guard is ever again physically overrun by illegals at the border, they should open fire. That puts our own people at danger from foreign invaders. And you know what's wild? Is what I just said will be all over the news tomorrow as some horribly controversial thing when that's the most basic border policy in the world. Hey, we want to come into your country. We're not supposed to be there. The country says, no. The illegals say, okay, we're coming anyway. Get out of the way. Well, the country has to physically repel those people. That's how border security works. Are you ready for that? Are you prepared for what has to be done? We have to begin taking drastic steps so the world knows they shouldn't even try it. We don't, but we should. Hey, Jesse. He said, dear Jesse Dong Kelly, I'm a construction guy. I've been working in a hospital. Every restroom has been changed to all gender. Even the family restroom has this signage. I'm reminded of all the stories the old man used to tell me about having to use an outhouse. Everyone has to use the same one. My question for the Oracle is, where does this end? Are we going to go back into the time of the Woodrow Wilson era? It feels that way, just in a much sicker and perverted way. Where does this end? Well, it can kind of go one or two ways. This endless sickness and degeneracy that's filling up our society now. You know, it's not unheard of before. This is something that people listen to the show, you'll know, but most people do not. In the wake of World War I, you know, there was a whole bunch of this tranny, drag, LGBTQ filth that took hold in Germany. Did you know that? Yeah, Chris just said, how'd that turn out? When a society turns this rotted and evil, what I want is, you want society to turn back to God. That's the only thing. It doesn't matter what you believe. That's the only thing that can save this country because it is the devil who has come here. These are demons. This is a spiritual battle. The nation must turn back to God to be saved. But that's historically not how it goes. Historically, when people are lost like this, this lost, this broken, historically, they don't turn to God. They turn to a very bad man who says, hey, all this crap, give me power, and I'll put a stop to it. Oh, I'll put a stop to all of it. I don't know which direction the people of this nation are going to choose. I don't know. Nobody does. I joke about being an oracle, but I do know there will be a stop. there will be a stop. Eventually, the people will push back. You want people to push back the right way. Will that happen? I ain't so sure. Anyway, let's talk about numbers, money, inflation, the cost of your bacon. Carol Roth joins us next.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday, and I cannot wait to talk to Carol about all the disaster that's out there right now. Joining me now, recovering investment banker. Now she's world famous author of all these amazing books, and my friend Carol Roth. Carol, here's a headline for you. The Fed projects higher interest rates and higher inflation for longer. Well, that's great news, Carol.
Jesse, you never have me come on and talk about anything fun. Can't I talk about March Madness or maybe my favorite ice cream flavors? I always have to talk about the economy, and the economy is depressing. And yes, we had the Fed do their wonderful press conference yesterday, which it told you everything you needed to know and nothing you needed to know all at once. But they've been pretty good, at least telegraphing to Wall Street what they were going to do or not going to do. And no, they are not cutting interest rates right now. Inflation is still too high, as we all know. But they did telegraph a couple of things. One is that they don't expect to continue to raise rates, that they actually said, yes, we do think we're going to be cutting at some point in the somewhat near future, whatever that may be, although, of course, they're still data dependent. But the other thing that they said is that this wonderful balance sheet that they got up to almost $9 trillion, and that they've let run off, you know, they let these treasuries expire and they don't go back and buy new ones. They've gotten it down about a trillion and a half, that they're going to just slow the pace of that. They don't think they're going to be doing that quite as aggressively as they were before. So that tells us that there is sort of this pivot towards being more accommodative, having a little bit looser monetary policy, which in turn characterizes and basically telegraphs that they have concerns, whether that is over the economy or possibly some other issues, whether that's a commercial real estate set of issues, whether that's chaos in the Treasury market because we have to absorb so much money from all the deficits we run. So they definitely are giving us a little bit of a hint that, yeah, you know, inflation's not so great, but we may be forced to loosen up a little bit going forward.
Carol, can you explain this commercial real estate crisis in a way that I attempted to last night, although I failed? Empty buildings everywhere. I just tried to kind of walk people down how this works. You have people take out loans for these things. They intend to have renters so they can pay back the loans. They can't pay back the loans. Regional banks go belly up because these are not $1 million loans. These are $100 million loans. Can you explain what the problem is with the commercial real estate market?
I mean, I actually think you did a pretty good job right there, but I'll see if I can add any other nuggets to it. So well done, Jesse. You've really become quite the little grasshopper student on the economy. but yeah, from a commercial real estate standpoint, you had a period where everybody was going to the office. Cities were bustling. We had low interest rates, so they loaded up, bought these big buildings at crazy prices with debt that was very cheap. In real estate, the debt does not go on for 30 years like it does in some of the government loans, and so those need to be refinanced. So what's happened in the period of time when they've needed to be refinanced? Well, first of all, the interest rates have gone from, you know, next to nothing up 525 to 550 basis points just at the Fed funds level. So they're much more expensive now. And we had these COVID mandates, which basically send everybody back to their homes, working from homes. People don't want to go to the city. You have these cities that are not enforcing any crime policies, so people really don't want to go to the city unless they're forced to. And so you don't have the occupancy. So you've got people who own buildings who were expecting that they would be getting rents. They're not getting the rents. Now they have to refinance the debt at a higher rate, and they just can't do that anymore. And so the lenders, and in the office space in particular, that tends to be a lot of these regional banks, are basically sitting on these buildings where the people who own them go, we don't know what to do. We're just going to hand our keys back. And then, you know, what does the bank do with it then? They also, in many cases, don't have the reserve requirements to be able to cover the losses. So that's what basically is putting pressure on the real estate industry, which is then, you know, coming over into the banking industry. And I've heard from some sources, this is Jesse Kelly gossip, so this is not on the record, but this is just on the gossip. I've heard from some people that there have been internal talks that they're going to create a Freddie Mac, you know, kind of Fannie Mae type of government-related entity to stuff all the bad commercial real estate into, because they know that this is coming. And the time period they're saying is probably like in the next year to 2 years, but that it needs to go and become chaotic, and this all needs to fail before they can do that. But that may be coming down the pike, according to some gossipy insiders.
Oh, wow. The government creating an emergency, and then the government coming up with a solution that enriches the government more to fix the emergency the government created. I just wish there was some kind of precedent for this. Again, we're talking with Carol Roth, author of the book. In fact, I'm going to ask a question along these lines. You Will Own Nothing is one of Carol's great books, probably her best in my personal opinion, although I love them all. Carol, this commercial real estate loan stuff and a lot of stuff, a lot of it seems from the cynical mind like just a big fat transfer from regional banks, smaller banks, to the gigantic Bank of Americas of the world, who are more aligned with the federal government. I talked about this a little bit more last night about how it just seems like it's more taking from the have-nots and making sure the haves have everything. Did I oversimplify that?
I wish I could say that you did, that your simple mind oversimplified it. But once again, you've hit the nail on the head, Jesse. You're batting a thousand here. It's true, and we've seen this going back all the way to the Great Recession financial crisis with the Dodd-Frank ruling. You had these big banks who had done all of these nefarious things, frankly, that created havoc not only on our domestic economy but on the global economy. And then when they wrote these onerous rules, who were the ones who basically couldn't keep up with those rules? Well, it was the small community lenders and the regional banks, the banks that service small businesses. So you actually had a situation where you had fewer bank formations and you had a number of the small banks go out of business, and so the bigger banks just got bigger. Then we saw in the last round of banking crises last year that the big guys were able to pick up some of these other banks that were really illiquid on paper, but probably could have gotten sorted out if there was the desire to. But Jamie Dimon, who's, you know, the veteran back at JP Morgan Chase, he's like, oh, this is great. And they're able to, you know, kind of pick up all of the assets that they want. So this really is, you know, sort of a great consolidation. And it's a theme that we're seeing where there are more and more barriers erected, whether you're a small business or a small bank or part of the middle and working class, and you're finding yourself being penalized, and the people at the top echelons are getting, you know, wealthier, stronger, more powerful. And, you know, we need a lot more pushback because, you know, the playing field's supposed to be even. We're not supposed to be having somebody put their thumb on the scale. And now not only are they putting their thumb on the scale, but they're putting their entire obese body on the scale.
Carol, this is the mayor of Chicago, as you well know. I'm sorry, I had to play this for you.
I think there were 38,000 Republicans that showed up and voted for Donald Trump or something like that in Chicago. So, you know, since if we're trying to draw some conclusions and you all want some other, you know, analytics you might want to discover, that might be something to look into, because there's a good chance that played a part in this referendum. So the same people who...
Please tell me the people, that was Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson blaming the homeless policy failing on Donald Trump voters. Carol, please tell me this human being is reviled in your city.
Well, first of all, I'm surprised that he knows the word analytic. So good on you, Mayor Johnson, for learning a big word. This is a referendum that was called Bring Home Chicago, and the idea was that they were going to tax the people who are already overtaxed when you sold your property and just, you know, gouge more fees and taxes from you. And then that, you know, that was going to go and help the little people. I can't even express to you the insane amount of taxes that we pay in Chicago to help people, and it never gets to the people who actually need the help. So, you know, he is blaming whoever he can because this was a giant failure for him. And I think that a lot of the things that happened in this primary election, although very few people turned out for it, you know, basically showed, yes, the way things are trending in sort of the progressive circles, that's not really working. However, we have so many entities that are holding the city hostage, entities like the Chicago Teachers Union, that it's very difficult without having that busted up to really get anything that is going to help the people of Chicago. But they're upset. They're upset about the migrants that have come over and gotten all of the help and the assistance, while the people of Chicago, the homeless, the veterans, people in struggling areas haven't. So there definitely is a little bit of an awakening, but unfortunately, you know, the Chicagoans tend to be held captive to some of these larger entities.
Yeah. Carol, you are the best. Go get Carol Ross books. As always, Carol, I appreciate you. All right. Well, let's talk about Joe Biden's stutter. You didn't think that whole story was going to go away. The media is resurrecting it again. I kid you not. We'll deal with that and James Naked Ken Doll Lankford and so much more still to come. First, let's deal with your crappy sheets. Why don't you have Giza Dream Sheets yet? The greatest sheets, bar none, I've ever owned in my life are Giza Dream Sheets. And right now, my pillow has a huge sale on them. $59.98 for a queen size set. King size set? It's just $10 more. And as a little cherry on top of that sundae, 60% off the original My Slippers right now. My Pillow, when they do these sales, that's when you dive on it. That's when you take advantage of it and start filling up your bed with My Pillow stuff made in America, baby. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special square, and use the promo code Jesse, all right? And don't sleep on those My Slippers. Gosh, they're wonderful. Or call them 800-845-0544. Go get you some My Pillow stuff. We'll be back with Joe Biden's stutter. Hang on. It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Don't worry, we still have more than an hour of the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. And don't worry, tomorrow is an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. So you need to get your questions emailed in now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. All 3 hours, whatever you email in, ask me anything. Doesn't have to be political. Do you see Senator James Lankford is trying to get a leadership spot in the Senate? And I shouldn't laugh because you know he's totally going to get that leadership spot in the Senate. He's going to run for vice chair of the Senate Republican Conference. He's completely going to get that leadership spot. Man, we have such a red state senator problem, a huge red state senator problem. But whatever, I don't want to spend any time on that. I want to walk back down memory lane for a moment because some of these memories are being brought back to the surface, if you will. Remember when Joe Biden first started running against Donald Trump? And Joe Biden, since he wasn't vice president, or even while he was vice president, we didn't hear a lot from him, did we? We just didn't. And then once Trump got elected, he really disappeared. And look, I follow politics. You follow politics. I just didn't think much about Joe. Obviously, I knew who he was and whatnot, but I hadn't seen him. He wasn't on TV. He wasn't selling a book. He wasn't giving speeches. So we hadn't seen him. And then Joe Biden decides he's going to run against Trump when Trump's running for re-election. And that's when we all finally saw, oh my gosh, I don't think he's doing very well. Does it not? Does it seem like he's doing well? Joe Biden seems like he's doing really bad. Remember, look, we see where Joe Biden is now, and we forget what a shock that was back when he started running against Trump. Everyone could see it right away. And so because all these people just lie, that's all they do is lie, lies. It's not what they do. It's who they are. It's woven into their DNA. They decided they had to come up with some sort of an explanation why Joe Biden, why do only one debate? Hey, why don't you campaign very much? Why did you get caught using cue cards for a television interview? Why? And so the Biden administration, working with their apparatchiks in the media, came up with this story about Joe Biden's stutter. That Joe Biden, the reason he can't talk, the reason he doesn't campaign, the reason he needs cue cards, the reason he screws everything up every time he speaks, well, it's just a stutter. In fact, you can't make fun of him at all. It's an inspirational tale. He overcame a stutter. And we all looked around and we thought to ourselves, wait a minute, Joe Biden's always kind of been an idiot, but a stutter? I mean, this is from 1988. Joe really seems to have overcome that stutter back then.
I went to law school on a full academic scholarship, the only one in my class to have a full academic scholarship. Went back to law school and, in fact, ended up in the top half of my class. I was the outstanding student in the political science department at the end.
Look, it goes on for another minute. The stuttering I must have missed. Okay, well, let's go back further. Maybe he had just really overcome the stutter back then. Here's Joe Biden, 1976.
Well, I think he can benefit more because he's going in as an underdog and no one really expects, the voting public, I don't think, expects him to be very sharp or quick. That's not an asset that's been attributed to him. So if he comes off as being...
Wow. I don't hear a stutter. Did you hear a stutter? Chris, did you hear a stutter? I didn't hear a stutter either. That's funny. So the media lied. The Biden administration, with their apparatchiks in the media, tried to cover up for the fact that the president has dementia and he's not a functional adult. So they came up with some story about his stutter and how heroic it was and how he overcame it. Well, you and me, last time the media rolled this out, we made fun of them for it mercilessly. They got mercilessly mocked for this whole stuttering thing. So you would think that they just kind of left it alone after they dropped it last time, but you would be mistaken. I have a headline here from the Washington Post today. Biden's stutter surges into the presidential campaign. The guy's name is Matt Visor. And honestly, we've had this talk before. There's never an answer. There'll never be an answer. I just genuinely wonder. I don't know who Matt Visor is, whatever. He's a communist piece of trash who writes for that communist rag. But even knowing that, even knowing you're a dirty commie, if you're Matt Visor, that got published in the Washington Post today. Would you go home tonight when you're changing into your granny panties and getting yourself ready for bed? When you look in the mirror when you're brushing your teeth, what do you see? You just wrote an article about a stutter the president doesn't have. It's an article full of lies because you're trying to use your position as a journalist to cover for a man who is very clear. I mean, let's be honest. He's disabled by now. Joe Biden is disabled. He is. He's disabled. He would never be able to get a driver's license out in the real world. That's just not going to happen. If you're Matt Visor, don't you feel a little gross? Aren't you embarrassed by what you see? Whatever. We have a whole other hour. We're losing embassies. The red states are doing good, though. You want to hear some good? Let's talk about that next.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.